Hello, ladies and gentlemen, another quick rant of truth. This is also defined as a quick rant of truth means no production value. Get right to it, but don't always, it's not always short, let's be honest. I go 15, 20 minutes, still call it a quick rant of truth. Much longer than that, I figure it's got to be a scales of truth. But it doesn't have the intro and the outro. I'm just doing it on my phone, which is very convenient. My nephew mentioned that one of my favorite comedians, Bill Burr, was one of the earlier, quote, podcasters in that sense. He'll just do a quick rant. He'll do a comedic rant. I've never listened to him. But my nephew said, yeah, what he'll do is like be at the airport and then just have an observation and just kind of puke it out onto his phone. And then that becomes his podcast in some cases, which I think is cool. Anyway, I'm going to do one of those. In doing my research, what I'll tend to do is just go do DuckDuckGo searches and then I will right-click on links for articles I want to read later and save that to Pocket, which I love that app. Usually that means you get a simplified copy of it you can look at later instead of having to go back and giving those sites a bunch of credit for visiting them a bunch of times. And besides that, if they get rid of it, then you still have your simplified Pocket version and you don't have the distractions of everything that's in the margin and everything else. Anyway, and so doing this morning, I saw just an account of some kind that says, nuance or die. And I almost want to tell my podcast co-host about this. No time this morning to do it. Because so many times I said in the last year and a half, now coming up on, before you know it, more than that, or is it more than that by now? April, this is nine, not quite October. So we're coming up on a year and a half, but not quite. I said, yeah, the more we become this totalitarian information society, the less we worry about nuance, you know, and well, yes, but that's not what we're saying. This totalitarian information society is like, oh, what do you mean there's no evidence for masks? You're missing the nuance. The nuance is it reasonable not to? Same thing with vaccines. Is there also evidence that makes it reasonable not to? And so much of our conversation on a regular basis is not conversation because it ignores the nuance that somebody, and that's really being generous. You say it ignores the nuance that somebody is presenting. It's really just ignoring what's being presented. And their reaction becomes as though that nuance wasn't presented. Nuance or die. I do believe that that's true, that is the problem. Now, the second thing I want to mention, I'm going to go to a rally today. I was looking at my state's constitution because this rally is, I don't know, I don't know why I said this rally is. It's just another rally, and it is around, you know, COVID and masks and mandates and freedom, and I was looking at the state constitution. And it is amazing to me that this, we have a legislature, you know, they should know the Kansas Constitution as well as anybody. And right in the Bill of Rights, you know, so much of us think of only the U.S. Bill of Rights and are not versed on our state Bill of Rights or state constitution. And I can tell you, I'm one of those. I think logically and definitely get like a sense of there's no way that's constitutional. But I don't always think of it in the state constitutional sense. And there was something called rights of conscience. So I'm looking to that. But it was under the religious freedom area, but they'd already mentioned the main parts of religious freedom. So this is about the third term in, the third sentence in. And it's rights of conscience. As we struggle with this idea of what do you mean we need to get a religious exemption? That's really the argument. No, we have a right of conscience, the right thing to do for me or for others, right? And that's right in there with religious freedom. And I look and this right of conscience has been used around the idea of, no, you can't just force one place it's been used. Is you can't if that's a medical procedure I don't agree with, I am not the Borg. I have to use my conscience on whether I should administer that treatment. So you can imagine that prior to this takeover, prior to this world war, because that's really what it is, it's just missing the soldiers. Heard somebody else say that recently. It's a war. It's a war. I've said it many times. Tell me what else has affected the entire globe more, really, in history. I mean, yes, it would be regional before, but nothing has changed culture. Remember, wars used to be a war for sustaining your society and for your society to still have its own standards. It's just that it would, in that way, it would be in the form of who has this territory. And now it's an information territory. What information has taken over in the collective minds, you know, the minds across the population? It's an information war, and it's a world information war. So this idea of conscience as it had been applied is, hey, as it had been most argued recently, as far as I can tell, just looking this morning, is for providers, individual practitioners, to be able to say, yes, I want to help people. And in that specific case, my conscience says, either morally or because I don't think it is helping people, I do not have to do that treatment. You can't force it upon me. And that goes to a broader question of, yes, that. It's like, where do we get to the idea of now everything's... you can even go to the protocols. You've probably heard many people say, the protocols are backwards. So many people would go, no, why do I have a universal protocol for this? Who are you to mandate the protocol? I went to medical school. I am educated. And, you know, protocols, I can't tell you whether they're absolutely mandated. I can tell you that the pressure among hospitals and even having a CDC protocol, the way this information war has gone, means that, you know, people are doing a crazy protocol in many doctors' minds. So this right of conscience would be, what do you mean? That's not what our protocol would be for these types of things. Why is it now? And because of the pressure, because of the information war, this backwards protocol, at least judged by some doctors and nurses, would say, why are we doing that? That's wrong. It's absolutely the wrong thing to do morally because it's not effective. And in fact, it's dangerous. So this right of conscience, and I think it can be reversed to patients, right? I mean, religious exemption, patients, and right of conscience. No, it is my own, because it springs, these you know, practitioners being able to do it, it springs from the individual right of conscience. And therefore, it holds for, remember, this is a state constitution, it holds for an individual too. So it's funny to me, and I haven't really looked a lot at the exemption argument so far, but that is funny to me that I just haven't heard that term very much. Now, I should say some people may have heard it looking into it, but in the ether of being a dissenter and looking here and there and thinking about it, I haven't heard that much. Maybe it's not new to you, but I'm sure it's new to some of the listeners. The right of conscience. And very quickly, I'm going to tag at the end of this an argument that I've heard recently as far as, first of all, I think you could make up a religion, but you can certainly use, I just watched a documentary on Satanist temple, and there's seven tenets. And one of their seven tenets is the inviolability of the human body. Now, do they follow that? No, because I don't see one anti-mask or one anti-vaccine post, because you can imagine what they really are is a political organization. They're masquerading as a religious institution. They don't even believe in Satan, this particular Satanist temple. There are real Satanists, so don't fall for that. But this one says one of the seven tenets is the inviolability of the human body. And another one, I think it's a different one, but is about the will of a person. You don't override somebody else's will. So that's one, if you want to just make a mockery of this religious exemption, but at least use it. But then secondly, there is the idea that if you're, you don't even have to say that you're not pro-choice or that you're against Roe v. Wade, because even your mere religion would seem that you might be. if you're religious, or even if you're not, because not everybody practices, right? If you don't go to church, you don't have to show a bunch of evidence unless your religion is really wildly, you know, strange. I don't think anybody can make you show a bunch of evidence that it's deeply held, or that they would if it went to a Supreme Court case, maybe. But this idea that there are fetal parts, fetal material in all of these vaccines. So there's maybe a religious exemption. I don't know why I didn't think of that before, but I haven't been thinking about exemptions. I knew there were fetal tissue in these vaccines. It's either in the vaccines or it's in the development of the vaccines. So, okay, that's it for now. I'll talk to you later. One of the quick rants of truth I've done. Have a good one, everybody.